Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. We will be looking ahead tomorrow evening to the London Marathon with Ian O'Riordan, who's going to join us in studio. And Mo Farah and Haile Gebrselassie, two of the most famous names in marathon and long distance running. And they've had the mother and father of all fallouts over Farah's stay in Haile Gebrselassie's hotel. So, like, Gebrselassie, Terry Venables, Stephen Roach, I think he sold his, but all men who've hung up their professional sporting attire to open hotels. But so Farah stayed in Gebrselassie's hotel, was robbed, he says, wasn't quite happy with the service he got from the staff and the owner in terms of trying to give him a bit of a dig out. There's been all sorts of allegations made against Farah since, and he faced the press today. And akin to us on TripAdvisor or Hotels.com, he took the opportunity to review his hotel stay.
Someone at the hotel gone into my bag, opened my bag, took my money, took my nice watch my wife bought me a present. And just to be honest, it's Haile owns the hotel, and when you stay for 3 months in that hotel, it was very disappointing to know someone who has that hotel and that kind of support couldn't do nothing. And at the end, I was just like, they couldn't do nothing.
3 months in a hotel. They should be charging them rent, not a nightly fee. But anyway, more on that to come on the programme tomorrow night. But not to get overly political, but you may be interested to hear that the Russian President Vladimir Putin and the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un held three hours of talks on an island near the Russian city of Vladivostok today. The Kremlin-run media have described them as positive, which you would probably expect. But sport seems to be one area where North Korea is endeavouring to put forward a positive impression of their country on the international stage. Historically, North Korea's participation in international sport has been restricted as a result of their relationship with South Korea. And that's eased in recent years. The countries have played international soccer internationals against each other. They've played underage soccer internationals against each other. They aim to have a unified team parade in the Olympics in Tokyo. And the Pyongyang Marathon, of all things, has become one of the most interesting races for kind of marathon tourists to try and compete in. And one man who has done just that is with us on the programme this evening, Dubliner and Raheny Shamrock's clubman, Colm Cassidy, who's just back from taking part in the race itself. And I suppose it's a very simple place to start an interview like this. How does a man from the north side of Dublin come to be running in what is North Korea's showpiece race?
How it came about was a buddy of mine in the club, Tommy, who I travelled with, he's knocked out. He's kind of doing marathons all the time, you know. He's doing a good probably 4 or 5 of them a year. Last August, I was getting ready for Dublin, which was my first, and I was kind of thinking ahead. I was like, where are we going to go to next? So I kind of had late March, early April of this year in mind. So I literally just picked up the phone to Tommy. He said to me, Tommy, looking for a fast-ish marathon next April time. And he says, funny you contact me, because I only got an entry into Pyongyang there about 4 or 5 days ago. So I'm kind of like, Pyongyang, North Korea? And he says, yeah. I says, okay, right, that's interesting. And so send me on the details. And yeah, sure enough, he just popped everything across me. He put down a deposit at that stage. I kind of just, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit quirky as well. I kind of thought, this is interesting. I might get away with going over here at this stage. So we've, my wife Siobhan is a runner as well, like, so she's pretty supportive. And my daughter Robin is she's young enough where I can kind of get away with traveling that distance at this stage, you know. So that's how it came about, you know.
I presume with the amount of interest that there would be in the novelty of being able to run in North Korea, that they don't just let any Billy or Jack in, that you have to reach a certain standard, I presume.
Not really, no. Basically it changed a few times this, but we were told, look, there's a cut off of 4 hours, so. You know, there's loads of jokes about, you know, if you don't make the 4 hours, you don't know, you mightn't come back and all this kind of crack. But it's not like Boston where, you know, you have to have a 2:45 or a 3 hour marathon in your legs already kind of thing. It's literally you have to go through the Corio Tours is the name of the travel group. So you go through them, you pay your deposit, you send off your two passport photos, and they look after your Korean visa, all that. It's actually surprisingly easy.
Okay.
You know, so basically, I suppose if you're willing to pay the money, you can go. You know,
they won't turn you away if you have the readies. And then just say that the simple logistics of getting into North Korea. You know, logistically, where do you fly to? I presume you don't walk over the border from the demilitarized zone.
No, you don't. Where did we go? We were Lufthansa on the way out, so we were Dublin to Munich, bit of a layover in Munich, and then Munich to Beijing, and we did two and a half, three days in Beijing. Before, and we flew out of Beijing then the Saturday morning before the marathon. So we did the shortest trip around. You know, there was different options, but we did 2 days in Korea.
Okay. So
flew out of Beijing Saturday morning. We went into North Korea, Pyongyang at lunchtime on the Saturday.
Okay, so it's a city marathon, and it's one of those where you basically loop back on yourself, and is it 13 yeah. miles one way, turn around and come back again. How difficult, like, what are conditions like, or how difficult is it as marathons go?
I think they say that the direct translation of Pyongyang is flat land. I suppose in the marathon, the first 3 miles were the easiest, kind of based on the terrain. I know the first 3 miles are always the easiest anyway, but yeah, so then, obviously, the opposite is on the way home. The terrain for the last 3 miles was a gradual uphill, which for me is kind of nearly worse, because with a big uphill you can see it. You kind of mentally know what's ahead of you and when it's going to end. But generally speaking, it was a decent marathon course. It was reasonably flat, fast enough. You know, pretty straightforward. Mm. In the city itself, we probably had about 5.5-6 miles before he kind of got out onto a road where we were, I think the guts of 7 miles going out to the turnaround, and then you had those seven back, and then you're back into the city.
And by all accounts, pretty picturesque. I don't know how much of it you get to enjoy, but I was looking at the map. So you've, you know, the Arch of Triumph, you've the Kim Il-sung Square, you've the Grand Theatre, and then you have the stadium itself. So it's picturesque, yeah, to say the least.
Oh, it is, yeah. And it's impressively clean. You know, the buildings are all that kind of those pastel colours, like. But yeah, the place is like in comparison with Beijing, like, the air in Beijing is just heavy. Like, we tried to go out for a run on the Friday, and I think we went a mile out the road and just said, look, here, we turn back and maybe do a little jog on the treadmills in the gym in the hotel, and we get back. Like, but yeah, Pyongyang wasn't like that at all. Really clean. I couldn't get over how clean it was, actually.
But is there a sense, do you pick up that it's a way for North Korea and for the city to project a positive image of itself worldwide? That, you know, there's obviously a novelty involved in people taking part in any sporting activity behind the wall in North Korea, that they're probably very, very aware that people like yourself are going to go and speak publicly of what the country is like. So they probably put on their best show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I suppose with the stadium, I thought was kind of a funny one. The stadium was around 30,000, 35,000, that kind of thing, you know. And everyone is in there. They're all in there 20 to 8 in the morning. And it was almost like synchronised clapping kind of thing. But I suppose you kind of wonder how those 30,000 are selected to go, you know. Because it kind of appears that there's not much going on in Korea in terms of maybe what the people's choices are. You know, so maybe going to a stadium and sitting there for the duration of the day is quite an exciting thing. I don't know.
And do you get a sense that even you, as a Westerner in North Korea, that it's quite carefully managed in terms of what you see, where you stay, where you go? That I presume the opportunity for you and your pal to go off the beaten track and explore North Korea is probably going to be somewhat restricted.
No, there is no opportunity to go off the beaten track. Basically, the Korean International Travel Company, they assign you two tour guides who are on your bus. So we were part of the 2-day trip. There was a 3-day trip, a 5-day, a 10-day. And, you know, each of those groups are probably going to have two tour guides with them, and with them all the time. So literally the only time in Korea when we were on our own was when we were doing the marathon.
Okay. Do you get a sense for, you know, maybe the kids in Pyongyang, they probably don't see too many pasty-skinned Irish fellas wandering around the place. That, how big a deal is it for the natives to see Westerners and see people beyond their own territory?
Yeah, I think it was pretty exciting for them. I do. It's a lot of kind of, especially with the kids and stuff. When we were running through Pyongyang, like, you know, you're going along, you're doing high fives and you're hand slapping and doing your best to say hello to them in Korean, which is a bit of a mouthful, but I suppose maybe by the time when you're on the return leg and you're getting back into the city, giving the high fives and saying hello became a bit more of a challenge, you know.
There's no young fella walking around North Korea with a Raheny Shamrock singlet that you left behind as a souvenir.
No, there's not. No.
Just to finish, I'm sure you're a modest man, but just in terms of the achievement, because it wasn't just a case for you of going and competing, your time is impressive, and where you ranked in terms of the international runners is equally impressive.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it's a personal best, and it's a personal best by over 3 minutes. So if I'm being totally honest, I think that time represents the shape I was in. And when I say that, I mean, if I had to do Dublin the same day, and I didn't, you know, this sounds like excuses, but, you know, if you didn't have to travel halfway across the world kind of 4 or 5 days earlier, sleep in different beds, eat different foods, all these kind of things, you know, in Dublin I'd probably have my wife Siobhan out in the bottle or out in the bike giving me a bottle exactly when I want it. You know, there's kind of luxuries you don't have to lose. I would imagine I would have gone quite a bit faster in Dublin. But
what time did you do, just to get, if you don't mind us saying that, on National Airways?
2:46:54.
Which is a good marathon.
Yeah, it is. Like, there's no doubt about it. You know, like, you sound like you're making excuses, but they kind of, that is the reality of it as well. I think if I probably had to go into Dublin that day, I might have done a 2:43 or 2:42. But sure, look, at the end of the day, I've come away with an over a 3 minute PB. So
yeah, and where did you finish in terms of international runners?
In terms of international, I was third. I was a third amateur.
Okay.
You know, and that's a good achievement, and I kind of went over there, had that kind of in the back of my mind, like, I, you know, personal best first, and then if you can get a trip to the podium at the Bond.
What's next for you then, in terms of what marathons are in the diary, or what challenges you look to take on next?
Next marathon in the diary is Dublin again, so, you know, another good 6 months to kind of get prepped for that. So I've kind of had a handy 2 weeks, down weeks, so I kind of start to try and wind it back up again, and hopefully knock a few more minutes off in Dublin. This year, you know, be plenty of races in between, a couple of halves, and
you didn't have any Mo Farah, Haile Gebrselassie falling out with anyone along the way that you're not going to be issuing statements through social media to get one back on anyone? Have you been following all this? Because they've kind of turned marathon and long distance running into the WWF over the last couple of days.
I'm not too sure you might have to educate me on it a bit. I was just reading a bit on it, but I don't know, it's a bit of handbags, is it?
Well, so Farah stayed in Gebrselassie's hotel, had his money taken, had his watch taken, and right, didn't pay his bill, and they're having it out now in social media. But the bit that I'm getting the most satisfaction from is the fact that Mo Farah signs text messages to people with Sir Mo, so he obviously is a high opinion of himself, but sure, if you've achieved achieved. So anyway, you're far more mild mannered than getting involved in spats like that.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Yeah.
Colm, congratulations on what was a great achievement. We wish you well with Dublin, and thanks so much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks a million. Good talking to you.
Let's go. This is 2FM.